offensive in a way. It's called Get Out of My Way, or Get Out of Our Ways in a way. Okay, it's come from the passage, come from John chapter 4, actually that we only read from 1 to 15, but actually lasts a little bit longer, from 1 to 26, and then skipped a little bit, and then come to 39 to 42 all the way. And it's about the Samaritan woman. I'm fairly familiar passage, and a lot of you probably knows it, but if not, I'll share with you the little story behind it. Okay, but before I want to go and talk about what the Bible talks about, I want to share with you a story. Okay, it's about a guy's name. Quite a few years ago, his name is Gary, and he was studying second year in university, and he was a very devoted Christian. And he's very keen to share the gospel. Okay, this happened many, many years ago already. Okay, Gary, he go to university every day, but in order to save money, he will take the train, and in order to save money, you know, train have off-peak prices, and you should get the first train on the off-peak price. So usually right on time, 9:30, you get on the train. And lo and behold, there's other students live around him and go to university at the same time. And he met one guy. Okay, this guy, he's a 1 year junior with him, from him, and he catches the same train every day. So day in, day out, he will be catching the train with this guy, and they will be sharing the gospel, arguing with him. But this guy seems very stubborn, and he seems to know a lot of things, and he thinks that he knows a lot of things, and he thinks, nah, not believing in it. But Gary's got to talk to him, share with him, and also talk about other things, about study, etc. Then Easter come. I mean, obviously, over in Northern Hemisphere, they start in September, which is different from Australia. And then by the time they get to Easter, they know each other for more than half a year. Talk to each other each day. But Gary never been to the friend's house. Well, that happened to be Easter Friday, or Easter Sunday. And usually, Gary go to church on Easter Sunday, as like we all do, go on Easter Sunday to celebrate. Okay? But somehow he feel that it's going to be different today. He thinks, wow, I think God is telling me something. And he suddenly want to go and visit that friend. He gets some vague idea where he is, and he can't remember talking to him about where he lives. So he went to make his way all the way to visit him. And he saw him. And somehow, God really touched the heart of this friend of him. And he suddenly feel that the love of God really overwhelmed him. And his tears came out. And out of nowhere, I mean, Gary thought, this is impossible. A guy that he thinks he's not going to be accepting Christ anytime soon. But right there, when he visited him, opened the door, and after sharing quickly, and he cried, and he accepted Christ right there. And I know this story is true. It happened many years ago. Because this story is about me. Happened to me more than 20 years ago that Gary came and visited me. And I suddenly overwhelmed with the love of Christ. And because of Gary get out of his own way, instead of going to the traditional way, going to church on Easter Sunday, he decided to come and visit a person he thinks that is impossible to accept Christ. And here I am. And because of what he did that day, I'm standing here in front of you, confessing that I'm a Christian because of my sin, and Christ died for me. And Christ did the amazing thing, touching the life of Gary, so that he's willing to get out of his way. In the same way, we too need to learn that. And the story about Samaritan woman is very much similar to what Gary did. And we're going to look at that. Let's bow and pray. Lord, we just want to thank you. I thank you myself for Gary, for his willingness to get out of his normal way, the usual way, the way that he get used to, but instead willing to come out and share with a person he thinks is impossible, but because of you touch his heart, and he's willing to give up his time, give up his block cage on his brain or mind, that he's willing to come out and share with me. And now I can stand in front of you to say that God, you are the Christ. You are indeed the saving one. So Lord, may you help us to understand how we too need to learn this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, John chapter 4 about Samaritan woman. I'm just going to quickly go through a little bit story about that. Most of you probably already know it. So, I mean, like what Charlie's read already, initially, to start off with verse 1, the Pharisee heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing. So it seems to be gaining. Well, previous chapter talk about John the Baptist baptizing. But by the time you get here, people think that, oh, Jesus even baptized more people. And Jesus decided, oh, I don't want to get along with the argument. He left. And he went to through Samaria. I want to go to Galilee. Okay, and by the time you get to near Jacob's well, the place that called Sychar, that he was tired and very thirsty. So he stopped by, and there's a woman drawing water from the well. Okay, which is kind of common. We all know in those days they own their well. We don't have tap water. So they draw water, and Jesus said, can I have a drink? And the woman said, well, sir, yeah, but you are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. I don't talk to you. I mean, you carry on reading that. That was what exactly what he said. Eventually, they go on to talk about living water, which is what Charlie was sharing right at the end. Jesus said, I can offer you a free gift, a living water. Okay, and then story carry on, talk about discussion about where should we worship? What is true worship? We should be worshiping in spirit to God. It's not depends on the place. And finally, the women realized that this is Christ. And she left, and she went away, and talked to everybody in her own village. And then everybody say, oh, this is a big change. And they come and find out who Jesus is. And then they too believe. And that's basically the story about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, basically 1 to 42. Well, the first thing I want to share with you is Jesus himself get out of his own way. Because of what? Because of missions. His mind is thinking of, purely thinking of mission. Even in this passage, very clearly said that. I share with you Gary. He thought, get out of his way in a way that is unusual, that is common. In the same way, Jesus, well, when he started, he go to Samaria. Why is it special? Well, because Samaria is the people the Jews hate. The Jews don't like Samaritans. Okay? I don't know, like, similar to like maybe the English would say that I hate Irish or whatever. In those days, obviously, not their friend. But in that day, they hate Samaritan because Samaritan, even though they came from the northern kingdom of Israel, they are one that have mixed marriage with the Canaanites, with other people who invaded Syrian. And they believe in only the Pentateuch and don't believe in all the other books of the Old Testament. And the Jews despise them. Remember the Good Samaritan? Jesus talked about the parable. The reason why he bring the idea of Samaritan is because Jews just hate Samaritan. And normally, what does Jews do when they want to go to Galilee? If you look at the map on the left-hand side, Jerusalem is right somewhere here. Samaria is around here. And Galilee is up there. Normally, if you think that you want to go to Galilee, you walk straight through Samaria, right? But instead, Jews, because they hate Samaritan, what do? They go around to the east side of River Jordan and then get up north, eventually get to Galilee. They want to avoid those people. Those are Samaritans. We don't talk to them. But what did Jesus do? Well, you may say that he's running out of time. He needs to go there early because he's busy. He wants to talk to somebody in Galilee. Right? But it's not. Because afterward, when the people return and ask for Jesus, you come and talk to him, share more about the gospel. He stayed for 2 days. So obviously, Jesus is not in a rush to get there. But he must have a purpose to get there. Well, the other thing is more than that. If you look at who is Jesus talking to? He's talking to a woman. Well, like for us, it's no problem. Talk to a woman, isn't it? I mean, it would be strange if we don't talk to a woman because half of the world is woman. Right? But in those days, Jews, if they're devoted Jews, they don't talk to women in public. Okay? They avoid them. They even saying, there's some commentary saying that some set of Jews say that if there's a woman coming, they close their eye and they keep walking. Boom! They hit something. They did not avoid them. They would just close their eyes. I don't want to see a woman. And it's as extreme as that. But obviously, not normally everybody. But there's cases that you can see it's difficult for Jesus normally, as a Jew, to talk to a woman. But what did Jesus do? He went straight to talk to a woman at the well. His mind is something else. He's moving away from the tradition, the normal way. Just like Gary, instead of sticking with the normal way, he get out of his way because he had mission in his mind. Why do I say that? If you look at the verse, which is the part that I didn't mention, when his disciple come and talk to Jesus, Jesus said, "Where's my food? Where's my looking at?" In verse 34, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. This is why in between the Samaritan woman's story and Jesus' mind at that time is thinking of missions. He's sharing the gospel to them so that they can have eternal life. And his mind is thinking of, I need to get out of my way, even though it's not tradition, even though people don't usually do that, and I, as a Jew, I shouldn't be talking to women so that I don't want to get people gossiping, but I will do that to get out of my way or get out of his way for missions. Do we do that? Do we get out of our way? I praise God because this church, we can see example. I really thank God for allowing me to come and join you guys because you gave me great encouragement. I can give you an example like many. One that I recently know is with Sam Takada. You know Sam Takada, one of Osama? You know Sam? No, Samu, sorry. Yeah, Sam, sorry, Sam. Sam helped out in one of the minority group who just migrated to Australia, the Karen, is it Karen? Karen minority group. And because they are new migrants to Australia, their kids have problem with doing their homework. And he did start up a homework club with the help of SP's home group, with Cole, Peter and Lisa and Arthur and Danielle, and all these people from our church, who get out of his way to start a home club, homework club, so that to help the kids to learn, so that they will have a better life. And more, they can also share the gospel with them. That is an example. I mean, more than that, I mean, agents driving away from his home just to pick up one of our youth, Steve, a man, just to come to church. All these are getting out of their way so that they will touch their life. Do we do that? Do we have that desire or mission just like Jesus? Do we learn from Jesus' examples? And we use what we have to share with those, even though it means that we're going to give up something. More than that, Jesus came as an example, and it's written in Philippians chapter 2. You have seen it on here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. What did he say? Let me read it from here. Just the first few verses. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but make himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, and even death on the cross. What a great example he had already shown us. That instead of remaining in heaven, he get out of his way to come down on earth so that he'd be like one of us, and even die on the cross. Do we have better example than that? Are we want to follow the example so that even sometime it may mean sacrifice? We're still willing to do that? And more than that, Jesus get out of his way to reach the sinner as well as the untouchable. The woman that you talk about, Samaritan woman, she is the untouchable. You heard of the untouchable in India. But she is the same. She is the untouchable in those days. Why I say that? Well, the Samaritan woman is despised by the Jew, both because she is a Samaritan as well as she's a woman. I share that about being a woman in those days, how the Jews hate that. And I share that about being Samaritan being a Samaritan, that Jew don't talk to that already, right? But it's more than that. This woman, in particular, she come to draw water from the well. What time does she go to? In the Bible, it said roughly, well, in today's time, it's about 12 noon. Go on, I mean, those days, always no water, so you need to walk out and pick water. Well, normal people, most of us, will want to work on a time that is not so hot to do exercise, to work out. So she go alone. Why? And she go at noontime. Probably because she doesn't want to go with anybody else. She's afraid to talk to others. And she go at noontime, even though it's when the hottest time to go and do exercise, she still want to do that herself. Why? Because, well, Jesus came and asked her, talk to her. And he asked her, who is your husband? Ask him to come and see me. And she said, I don't have a husband. If you look at the one of the verses in here saying, and she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right to say that you don't have a husband. You got five husbands before, but the one that you're living is not the husband. She's immoral. She's immoral. In verse 16, 18, they're basically saying that she come to pick water right at the middle of the day because she feel ashamed to go along with the community. She's outcast. Basically, it's not the one that you expect to accept Christ, isn't it? But what did Jesus do? She pick on her and reach out to her. If you carry on reading earlier chapter, it's more interesting. The earlier chapter, chapter 3, he called one of the Jewish leader called Nicodemus. You heard of Nicodemus, right? Some of you remember in John chapter 3. Nicodemus is one of the Pharisees, one of the teachers, one of the well-respected person in Jewish traditions. He came and asked Jesus, say, how do I get eternal life? And Jesus says, you need to be born again. You need to be born again in order to have this eternal life. And Nicodemus is still stuck with his own traditional mind. He says, I'm already born. How can I be born again? Can you be reborn? Look, Nicodemus is a teacher of the law. He knows the Bible or the Old Testament well. He knows it really well. And he came and asked Jesus for eternal life. And he get the answer. He doesn't understand. And he sort of went away. Of course, eventually he probably come back to Jesus. He wanted to help out after Jesus' death, etc. But at that time, he couldn't understand it. What on earth is possible for the woman, who's probably not as educated, who's Samaritan, to have idea of getting this eternal life? And if you look at it, if you want to pick someone to want to be a Christian, you won't choose her. I mean, some things like Gary, when he look at me, he probably say, no, that guy is impossible. No, one time my cousin, after I become Christian, I went and talked to him and said, I become Christian. He said, you? My cousin, one cousin that he became Christian long before I did. He said, no, I won't believe it. I mean, you're the last one I think on earth will become Christians. And what? Nicodemus can't even become Christians. And Jesus came to talk to the Samaritan woman, the one that is most important, not most, most impossible to become Christians. He came all his way to touch those are even impossible to be touched. And his example, just like us, he touched us, that we are sinner, and he still come to save us. How about us? Do we do that? I mean, a lot of times we have motives, other things. We do share gospel, or we invite people to church, or do other things. Even we sometimes come to church, have a different motive. But are we really caring more for that person's? The untouchable, or caring about ourselves. And actually, a funny thing, I was just reading the newspaper a couple of days ago. You know, I find it. I'm sorry to touch on a subject that maybe very touch on all us. Oh. Well, actually, the news is about Australia trying to help Papua New Guinea. I've been Papua New Guinea, and fortunately I went with a friend who went to Papua New Guinea, and the over there is most of the people are poor, and the yearly annual salary will be about $1,500 Australian, And Australians put a lot, pump a lot of money to help the public New Guineas. But guess what? Half of the money, apparently from the news, saying that half of the money go into administrations. And the person who's doing all this counselling earn 55K a month. That's on the news, in news.com.au. Go and check it out. Well, we're helping the poor, we're helping the unreachable. Because we gain? Or are we really caring for the person, for his eternal value? Do we look at that as more important? Or do we still think about ourselves? Do we gain for doing that? Well, so what is the reason? What are you going to share? Well, Jesus get out of his way to share the living water. And remember, Charlie was reading the passage, talk about Jesus said, I got a gift for you from God. This is the water that you're not going to be thirsty again. It's like a spring of living water. In verse 10, he said, in chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This is a gift from God. A free gift. A gift that does not require you to earn it. And in verse 13, he said, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I gave him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I gave him will become in him a spring of water, welling up in eternal life. This is a free gift for us, if we're willing to take it, that God is sharing to us. And that's what Jesus is sharing, this free gift to the unreachable person, the Samaritan woman. It's the eternal life. In verse 14, he said, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring water welling up to eternal life. This is the water that we should be sharing. And this water can only come from Jesus. Only. Because he is the Messiah. Why? Well, if you keep reading the whole passage of that chapter 4, it's very interesting because the Samaritan start off with saying that you are a Jew, right? You are a Jew. And now you are a man, come and talk to me. Well, if you keep reading the passage, it carry on saying how the woman respond to Jesus change. Initially, she doesn't know who Jesus is, so she call him Jew because he is Jew. And he call him that he's a man because men don't talk to women. But after Jesus offered living water to him, he start, hey, sir, who are you? He's getting more respect. And then eventually, when Jesus offered more things, talked to her more, she said, oh, you are a prophet. Are you a prophet? Interesting, isn't it? And at the end, if you carry on reading the passage, in chapter 4, where close to the end, and the people the village people come and visit Jesus, asking for more things, in verse 42, said, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man, Jesus, really is the Savior of the world. Right in that passage, it's identifying, even Jesus acknowledged to the woman, saying that, I'm the one that you're waiting for. Only Jesus can offer this living water. And because in John chapter 14:6 say that Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only Jesus that we can offer this living water. Not through ourselves, not because of our ability, not because of what we can save the other person, but because we have this living water living in us that we can offer also to the others. Do we have this living water in us? Do we look at our life so carefully that we ourselves recognize ourselves to have this living water? Or are you just living as a Christian's label only? So that you can offer other people the unreachable, the living water that is inside you? I know every time I think about Gary, my heart still pumps. Because I know I got this living water through him. He shared that with me. And God wants you to have that too. And that's eternal life that you can offer. Not because of what your ability is, but because we have that living water that is overflowing, that we want to share with others, that we want to touch the other people's life. Do you want to do that? Get out of your way, our way, so that we can reach those, it seems impossible, your student friends, people that you know of, that you think, oh, it's in school, they don't talk about religious. Or your family, or your colleagues, that you think is impossible. But because of this living water in you, that you have to share it, so that they too can have this eternal life. Are you willing to get out of your way to do that? And more than it, look at what happened to the woman. Jesus get out of his way to touch his unreachable, so that her life is transformed. Amazing. If you read the passage, the woman, from the beginning to the end, you see the big contrast. What did she do instead of drawing water at noontime to the in the wells, because she's scared of talking to other people in the community? She went straight back to the community and shared with the fellow villagers. And because of that, the villagers came out and asked Jesus to stay longer. Jesus said, yeah, okay, I'll stay 2 more days. So that they can learn more from him. And like I read before, early on, verse 42, the people, the villagers said to the woman, we are no longer believed just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. The woman went back to the community. She changed. Instead of shying away, she probably confessed her sin so that other people, because you go and share that, guess what? Everybody know who you are. And guess what? All your secret is out. Otherwise, they won't believe you. If you still hide away your secret and share that, oh, there's God that you should love, but you step back, does it help? Is that a true weakness? But in this weakness, all the people turn and change because she's been transformed. And Jesus came to transform her life. And we too, with that living water in us, we can do the same thing. We can transform other people's life. A few weeks ago, I was in Bible college, and there's one guy came to he did chaplaincy in the prison. And he said that in the prison, basically, what they do is take away the prisoner's dignity and take away their self-control. So they have no right to control anything, and they get humiliated. So their dignity is gone. And that's how they suppress them, keep them in check. Unfortunately, a lot of times the world is doing the same thing. If there are people that the world don't agree with or doesn't fit into the mold, we do that. Or even in workplace, we look down on the pond, we say that, oh no, you're not good. You step on them. We take away their dignity. And we take away their self-control, so that they may not be able to get a job, may not be able, they feel totally lost, they feel that, am I living in a country that belongs to me, or am I foreigner? And these are the people that are unreachable, that Jesus came to reach out. Are we going to change the people's life by transforming them, by giving them back them the dignity? Rather than showing off our ability to help them. We are not the Savior. Jesus is. And we can only pass on His living water to Him. So that they can have their life back, because they are created in the image of God. And we too can transform other people's life. We too can do that. Finally, I want to share with you one last story. I don't know whether it's a true story or not, because I just heard it from somewhere. My memory is getting old, my senior moments, and I couldn't remember all the reference. But there was one very famous Christian, and he's very outspoken. And there's another famous atheist want to challenge him. Come on, come. You said you believe in God. You believe in the Bible. Come on, let's have a debate. So we can put you down and step on you, and then nobody will believe in God again. Those atheists keep nagging him, and he's initially saying, no, not interested. But finally, he gave in. And he said, but I will debate with you, provided with one condition. The condition is, when we come to the debate, you bring 50 people that who are changed because of your belief. And I will bring 50 people who come to the debate with what I have believed that have changed them. And come up to the day, always a big expectation. The atheist, I mean, obviously on our side, we're biased. Okay, sorry about being biased. But the atheist thought, no one. No one's life has been changed because of not believing in God. But a Christian who brought 50 people who were ex-prostitutes, ex-criminals, ex-non-believers, who lie because of the gospel, have been changed and no longer prostitute, no longer criminals, but willing to accept Christ, standing in front of them because their life has changed by the gospel, by the living water. Jesus' gospel, the gospel that we know it, can change life. Do you want to share it? Will you get out of your way in order to share it so that other people who have this eternal life. In Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. We too have this power to transform life. Thank you. Let's bow and pray. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, because it's this power that we have that has changed our life. Our life has been changed because of you, the gospel, that's living water springing up in our life. And we too are willing in front of you to share this with others, even though it meant that we need to get out of our own way to do that. May you give us strength, because this power of the gospel is living in us, that we can stand firm and be strong and be courageous and share this gospel, so that others, the unreachable, those who seem to be impossible, will too have this eternal life, no life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.